This is WHYY's Morning Edition. Good morning. I'm Jennifer Lin. This week, two investigative reporters published an article called Sexual Harassment in Philadelphia City Hall, Unreported, Unrecorded, Unpunished. It's scathing. It's based on interviews of current and former city workers and information attained through right-to-know requests. It characterizes city government from 2007 to 2017 as generally unresponsive to allegations of sexual harassment by municipal employees and says only a quarter of big city departments kept any records at all of sexual harassment during that time. This conversation with reporters Max Marin and Ryan Briggs may be too adult for some listeners. I began by asking Ryan Briggs about the point this article drives home.
I mean, I think the story is about how there are so few records, essentially. I mean, that's sort of the shocking part, is that you go looking for something, expecting to find something, and instead you find nothing. And, you know, for a 500-person department like the district attorney's office to say that they have never recorded a sexual harassment complaint ever is just wildly improbable, I would say. I mean, this is a department where the former district attorney sent himself to sensitivity training during the so-called Porngate scandal. So to say that there's never been a complaint logged is a failure of the department to create an atmosphere where employees feel comfortable reporting harassment. I don't think it's an indication that there is no misconduct occurring.
Max, this article starts off with the story of Philadelphia Police Department officer Krista Haburn. She sued the city 10 years ago, alleging a police lieutenant who supervised her raped her in a squad car outside of a party as other police officers went about their business not too far away. You write, fearing reprisal, Haburn did not lodge a formal complaint until she retired from the force. She reported the incident to the department's internal affairs division, which investigates police malfeasance. She quickly discovered the city's system of reporting misconduct is broken. Why did she reach this conclusion?
Like most departments, the police department has a unit, the internal affairs unit, that investigates their own colleagues. And the police department has the highest number of sexual misconduct complaints out of any city department. These complaints are investigated completely behind closed doors. And so Ms. Haburn's complaint was eventually found uncredible. She claims that she provided them with all the facts. She provided them with multiple witnesses who could corroborate her account of the story, and yet it's dismissed. So what is potentially a criminal allegation is thrown away by your immediate colleagues. So the idea of continuing employment at that situation is something that a lot of women who we spoke with across city government are facing in many different agencies, telling your story only to be dismissed and or have your career jeopardized by making such allegations.
And part of her story, as I was reading, the person who investigated what she was talking about was actually perhaps sleeping with his secretary.
Right. Years later, Krista Haburn found out, the former staff inspector for the Internal Affairs Division would come under fire for coercive sexual acts with a former secretary of his. And our story also found that the city has paid out millions and millions of dollars over the years to settle these litigious claims that result from sexual misconduct.
Ryan, I still feel like if there's no database that's centralized of complaints, how do you really get inside of City Hall to know that this is happening?
We tried to track down all of the scattered reporting systems that the city says that it has. What you find is that the one citywide office, it's called the Employee Relations Unit, logs typically single digits annually. Most employees that we talked to had no idea that the unit even existed. The point of trying to report any of this stuff isn't necessarily to get a harasser immediately fired or anything like that. It's to create a record, right? I mean, part of what happened with Ms. Haburn is that, you know, years later, the person that she had accused of abusing her, you know, was found to have abused another city employee. So part of what you're trying to do is to create a record. So maybe the first time that it happens, you know, you're not terminating a city employee, but then the second time that it happens, the fourth time that it happens, there's a record where you can say this individual clearly has a problem and clearly some sort of action is needed. And that's not really happening right now.
Mm-hmm. Your article goes on to describe that after decades of mishandling, misconduct complaints, city officials are trying to reverse course by expanding sexual harassment training programs and implementing a citywide complaint tracking database. Also, City Controller Rebecca Reinhardt is expected to soon release the first ever audit of sexual harassment and assault in city government. It's supposed to focus on policies and payouts. Have you, Max, seen anything from her office in advance of this?
No, I have not seen anything officially on the record about this report. But what we found in our investigation was training alone is not going to create a culture shift in many of these departments. Women who have worked in city government will say they're still deeply misogynistic. They're still deeply ingrained with this patriarchal culture in which a woman who has a traumatic incident happen to her finds it very difficult to come forward. Training and tracking the resources is the first step, but it's definitely not the final step, according to critics of this problem. The bigger issue at hand is often punishment. As we find with many of these incidents in the police department, men who have engaged in sexual misconduct with their female colleagues and the city settled a lawsuit acknowledging wrongdoing in those cases are still working today on the department.
Let me ask Ryan, who might be on the outs because this happened under their watch or they aren't going to be able to comply with change.
This maybe isn't like a direct answer, but I think a lot of experts say that what's really important to focus on is diversifying leadership in all of these organizations. It's a lot harder to tolerate kind of an institutional culture of sexually discriminatory conduct, racially discriminatory conduct within a group of employees if you have a diverse group of leaders that are in charge of that department.
What more are you two investigating?
We have something that is coming up about civilian complaints that are logged against police officers, and that's kind of a continuation of a story that we had worked on earlier in the year.
All right. Thank you both.
Thank you.